Hey everybody, welcome to the Equipcast. All right, today I sit down with Father Marcus Connect and Jenny Wiswell of St. Gerald's Parish here in Ralston, Nebraska, and we talk about how to build a clear path, specifically how to expand the clear path. Once you've done all the work of getting your path built and you are now ready to expand it, they talk about what it's like to discern at that next level, to communicate, to recruit leaders. You're going to find some real encouragement to stick with it, that it works, that it's worth it, to be humble, to keep listening. It's a fantastic conversation, and you're going to love it. Take a listen. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Equipcast, a weekly podcast for the Archdiocese of Omaha. I'm your host, Jim Jansen. Now let's dive into some encouragement and inspiration to equip you to live your faith and to be fruitful in your mission. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome to the Equipcast. This episode today is part of a special series on how to build a clear path of discipleship. And today we're going to zero in on the last of the phases to build a clear path, expansion. After you've done all the other work of assessing and discerning and building stuff, communicating, then we talk about expansion. So for those of you who need the reference, a clear path of discipleship is a parish framework designed to help people take their next steps as disciples of Jesus. It's basically your plan for making and maturing disciples. Parishes that have a clear path know exactly how they connect with people, how they foster conversion, how they grow as disciples, and how they equip people as missionary disciples. The concept's simple, but building a clear path doesn't happen overnight. It happens in phases. There's assessment and discernment and implementation and communication and alignment and expansion. When you got that stuff built and things are rolling, then it's time to take a look and say, okay, what do we do next? What do we deepen? What do we expand? And today, I have Father Marcus Connect and Jenny Wiswell of St. Gerald's Parish with me to talk about their experience expanding their clear path. Father, Jenny, how are you?
Doing great.
Good. I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm really excited to talk about this. I feel like you guys get the coolest of the topics because in some ways expansion is like everything, right? It's like all of it rolled into one. So I have no idea where the conversation is going to go. We get to talk about almost anything. To get us started, why don't you set some context for people? Like tell people just a little thumbnail sketch of St. Gerald's Parish.
Sure. St. Gerald is in southwestern Omaha. It started back in 1957 in Ralston. And roughly 20 years later, it was expanding and they needed a new building. And so they actually got land a mile and a half west, and which is technically in Omaha. And so in the mid-70s, they built St. Gerald West. But they built it with the understanding that it needs to be even bigger. So roughly 20 years later, in the late mid-90s, they built what is the current worship area, and what was built in the 70s is now the fellowship hall of that area. But we still have both campuses, and the original campus still has the school running nice and strong.
And the original church, right? The little how many hundred seat church compared to the big one, just a little bit west.
Right. Yeah. And so that's basically used now as a chapel for the school kids and for daily masses. And with that kind of growth in the area, we've had lots of parishioners who are very involved in the community. And so we've got lots of ministries that are there. And so a lot of the stuff when it comes to to building a clear path, we've got to acknowledge what great work our parishioners have already done.
Yeah. There was no shortage of stuff happening and good stuff happening at St. Gerald's. I mean, both because of size and vitality and all of that. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
In 2016, Archbishop Lucas assigned two charismatic priests at the same time.
On purpose, I might add.
On purpose, right, at St. Gerald, right around that same time that the Archdiocese is putting forth their vision. And so these two priests then, Father Mark and Father Michael, were moving forward with building a clear path. But it took several years. And then right as they were getting ready to roll out the clear path, COVID hit and just paused everything. And then I got assigned there as the associate pastor in 2020. So we allowed this pause in everything mm-hmm. to be a chance for kind of this first time of expansion. Wait, what else needs to be on here? Yeah. What is the Lord allowing us to do during this time of pause? And so we rethought the clear path, actually, and how we were going to communicate it and all that. So it just gave us that first opportunity, so to speak, of the expansion phase.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I was going to ask, like, how did you know you were ready for expansion? But in some ways, you're like, well, I mean, the Lord put us on retreat. It's just like right. Everything was paused. And so you kind of got forced back into a reflective discernment mode. What did you learn in that time?
Well, I can share a little bit of my experience. So I came in January of 2021. As Father mentioned, you know, they had the words of the clear path and they had the conversion engine up and running and been running for 3 years. But when I came, I saw a lot of gaps.
Yeah. You're coming in with fresh eyes.
Yes. And
as were you, Father. Like, yeah. In some ways. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And so that process of like, okay, getting to know this community, seeing that Alpha was making a huge difference, you know, was insightful for me. But at the same time, I kept wondering, okay, but what's next for these people? And yeah, how do we walk yeah. with them? And how are they going to keep growing? And I think I annoyed everyone because I kept asking those questions. Like, okay, we got to take care of these souls. They're meeting Jesus, but yeah. now who's going to walk with them? And so that was the question that I came in with was, Lord, what are we going to do here to keep developing this part of the path?
Yeah, that's huge. I love how both of you are you're coming into a process that's well in motion and one that's been, you know, paused by the pandemic, but you were able to kind of enter into that and honor that. And there's a very particular, you know, I mean, Father, you alluded to, you know, the Archbishop assigns two charismatic priests. You know, every parish has a community, every pastor and associate combo has their own kind of flavor, but there's a particular flavor and culture, which from the outside, I saw the two of you enter into, embrace, but then say, okay, now what's next? How did that process go? Was it as easy as it looked from the outside?
All we had to do was flip a coin.
Yeah.
No, there was intense prayer and discernment and conversation, and maybe the conversation argument. Was more intense. Yeah, okay, argument than prayer. But there was always a lot of prayer because what we do is we have the argument and then, well, let's take that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Let him give us the answer.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot of, I almost want to say give and take. We have to realize that as we're going through the process, that it needs to be a living, organic thing, the mm-hmm. the clear path. That expansion, I think, is all about recognizing that the Lord is not done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He still has a lot of stuff that he wants to show us. And that he's preparing other people to create new things, new ways of revealing God's love to God's people yeah. in the time. And so we always have to be open and aware of those things and whether or not they're the appropriate things for our culture, mm-hmm. for our parish,
yeah.
for St. Gerald. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we've learned in the midst of expansion is even – be careful about how we communicate, because let's say
– yeah, say more. I love this.
You know, communication in the sense of maybe you could even call it marketing. So how are we going to reveal this? What's it going to look like? And you're going to spend money on that. Well, once you spend money on something, it can often feel, well, we better not change it now. Because right. we spend a lot of money on this thing. So
we made t-shirts. We can, right. Those cost a lot of money.
So you got to be careful about not locking yourself in to whatever it is that you're creating, because really it's the Lord who's supposed to be doing this. And he yeah. is constantly, while God doesn't change, he changes a lot of stuff for us. Mm-hmm. Like right, we're the ones right, who are right. always adapting to what God is doing for us. So we, for example, have ordered banners that don't have to change because they just show the overall aspects of our clear path.
Right. They kind of have like your mantra, mm-hmm. right? Which I love. Connect, encounter, grow, go. Mm-hmm. You've got cool icons. You've got them color coded.
Yeah, there's a particular color scheme and all that. So that won't change. There's no reason for that to change.
Right.
We've actually changed it once before we did any of the marketing because of prayer.
Right,
we said,
right.
wait a minute, wait, let's maybe this should be in a different order, which is fine. But now we're pretty solid on that order.
Right.
And now it's a matter of, well, what goes into those four aspects of our clear path? Well, those are the things, the programs or whatever that could change. And we have to be open to that. So
right.
the less costly sorts of marketing things, such as a brochure, those can spell out the programs and why we have these, what they do, because, you know, printing on paper, we can change that.
Right, right. I love it. I mean, you're almost like kind of like enunciating a principle here. I mean, you're talking very practically about like, hey, the big banners cost more money than the paper brochures, but there's a principle there. What how people, the process of conversion and growth and maturity, that doesn't change. You know, the articulation of like, this is a place where we're gonna help people connect. We're gonna help them encounter Jesus. We're gonna help them grow as disciples. You know, we're gonna equip them and send them out to go. That's not gonna change. You know, the process of conversion and how we make disciples isn't gonna change, but the tools we use, those might.
Right.
So we're gonna print that on paper.
Right.
Correct.
I love that.
And we're in a really neat time right now because we're about to really, again, this has been functioning for a while. And
yeah, give everybody the time, just a rough bit of the timeline. This has been, I mean, you said 2016 is when the Archbishop's Vision comes out. Mm-hmm. How long would you say you've been at this?
Well, Alpha started at St. Gerald in 2017. I know in 2020, they were running some missionary discipleship gatherings. So
yes.
There was some element of a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always been kind of a consistent Bible study. We have Nazareth groups, a way for people to connect in small groups.
Mm-hmm.
So those were there, and they've been there since probably that same time when Father Mark and Father Michael came.
Yeah.
But a lot of change has happened, I would say, over the last 2 years as we, number one, spent a lot of time in prayer and discernment and noticing who the Lord was bringing to us.
Mm.
That's an important factor too, because sometimes we try to force things and it's
yeah.
not the right time. But if you notice what the gifts are, you know, even our staff, what are the gifts
yeah.
of our staff? That also makes a difference in the programming and, you know, what basically where our mission field is going to be and the tools we're going to use for that mission field.
Can you give an example of that, Jenny? Because I love that. I mean, you're saying the Lord shows us part of our discernment in this mm-hmm. expansion
mm-hmm.
as to what's next. By who he gifts, not just what, but like who he gifts us with.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give an example to kind of flesh that out for people?
Sure. I mean, I can say from my standpoint of entering St. Gerald, one of the gaps I noticed was, okay, there's nothing really for moms. There's not a way to reach moms.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that was a particular gifting. My charism is pastoring, my number yeah. one charism. And so how can I use that charism for that relational outreach piece for the beginning of the path in a new way?
Yeah.
So that's from my own personal life. Even though I'm a director of evangelization and running these programs, you know, my gifting is pastoring.
Right. And you are a mom. So.
And I am a mom. Yeah.
Easy to notice.
Yeah. I would say we have an incredible person who was on staff. He's now a volunteer. He has a charism of teaching. And
mm-hmm.
so how can we use his charism in,
yeah.
in different ways? And he is very passionate about teaching on the charism. So we have him leading Called and Gifted for us.
Right. As a way to equip people when they're like, okay, I'm a disciple. I love mm-hmm. Jesus. I'd love to share.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, let's talk about your superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had another parishioner who has since passed away, but a very beloved parishioner who is full of energy and probably had the charism of hospitality. And therefore everything,
yeah.
This is Becky Tomatich, therefore everything that we did that she wanted to be a part of, she was there to say, okay, well, let me make sure that the space
yeah.
is very hospitable.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that there's greeters. We almost didn't even have to ask her. It was as long as she
yeah.
was aware of it and that she wanted to be there, she'd make the hospitality happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I want to highlight like what, house. It's like such a solid way to discern, because it's one thing. I mean, at least for me, you know, like I always have ideas and I have lots of desires. And I mean, I'm okay at, you know, like getting people with low boundaries to do things and help. But it's a different thing. That was a joke, by the way. It's a different thing to find someone whom the Lord has supernaturally gifted and to say, okay, we couldn't do this. Yes, there's maybe a natural talent at play there, but there's a supernatural gift, and the Lord doesn't give that gift for no reason. Mm-hmm. Why has he given us this gift?
Right. Very much so.
Okay. I want to go back to something you guys said earlier. As you're in this discernment expansion phase, it's a little bit all of it. It's, you know, it's communication, it's alignment, it's the whole bit. You talked a little bit about, Jenny, I think you said, oh, I'd ask the annoying questions about like, well, what are we doing about this? What's next for these people? What's, you know, you'd point out the gaps. And Father, you're like, oh yeah, there's a little bit of arguments. There's a process for this, which isn't just, I don't know what the contrast is. It's not just one person on a spreadsheet or a couple of people just sketching something out. I mean, there's a real wrestling and an honest conversation. I mean, there's almost an assumption. I mean, it's not maybe what we're trying to talk about today, of a healthy leadership team being able to honestly assess and discern and converse together. And through the hard stuff too, right? Because the easy stuff, the low-hanging fruits have already been taken care of. Talk a little bit about that on the inside, because I think some people who haven't been there maybe have a tendency to think that it's going to be a lot easier than it is.
No, it's so important to have the freedom to disagree with the team that is put together to pray about this.
Yeah.
Because it's, you then take those disagreements into prayer.
Yeah.
As opposed to taking them personally, right? Instead of holding on to the disagreements and taking offense by it, I give it to the Lord and I say, well, what have you revealed because of someone disagreeing with me? Well, you've revealed that I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. It revealed that we have to be going to God for this, and revealing that you've gifted each person in this room with something different and unique, and you've called us here. So it's important to trust not only God, but to trust each other in the room, even to trust enough to disagree. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even vehemently, and sometimes sometimes we disagree in a sinful way, and we're like, okay, so now we got to be able to forgive, right? Okay, so
yeah.
Because we let emotions get away with ourselves. And right. So, okay. Well, that was not appropriate. We're allowed to forgive each other and strengthen one another and encourage one another to let's do better next time. And again, what are we learning from the whole process? What is God doing in the midst of this?
Right. Well, I think our faith, like, you know, I mean, look at the roots of our faith, you know, wrestling with God.
Jacob.
Is part of our faith. And so there's a wrestling that has to happen with God. We wrestle not literally with each other. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes I think that might help some of the tension.
Yeah, it's like, it'd be a lot easier if we just arm wrestled about this. Yeah, that's great.
And that's just such a beautiful process. And that's really been just an incredible gift for me, is to see how the Holy Spirit works in that. Mm-hmm. But it just requires a lot of honesty. For me, it does require, in my case, to be with men who are ordained. Mm-hmm. There are times where, you know, it feels very vulnerable for me to have to share my gifts as a leader. At the same time, I know that they respect and they receive that. But there's risk taking involved, is what I'm trying to say. That is a beautiful process when there is, you know, when trust is there. But it takes work, and it's, you know, been very hard at times. But you know, there's been disagreements where we've had to just set them aside for a while too, and then come back to it because, you know, we didn't all agree on the same thing.
Right. This might take more than a couple of days of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because part of it is the Lord is working on us to remove our ego from it.
Yeah.
And that's really important. One of the most difficult things, I think, for me was when, as a group, we felt pretty confident in what the next step should be or what we should include. And then it's a matter of, okay, in order for us to do this, we need someone else to help with that, which again, that's total reliance on the Lord then. You got to bring us that person. And so whether it's going to be a hired staff member or maybe it's a parishioner who's really excited to be able to use that particular gift that they have as a volunteer to help out because they've got the energy to do so. And then no one seems to be coming to our doorstep, whether we do post a position and it just like, Lord, we feel confident that this is what you want. So now it's a matter of, okay, but it's still in your hands, Lord. It's all in your timing. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of waiting. There's waiting and patience.
Involved. Yeah. And that's not a hypothetical story. You're like, we're like, Jesus, this is what Jesus wants. Okay. We post the position and then like, you're waiting. Mm-hmm. What did the Lord do as you were waiting?
I took on more hours. that's honest.
That is honest. That wasn't what I was looking for, but thank you for being honest.
So part of it is, well, patience, but creativity. Finding new ways to approach it.
Starting very small. So I'll give you a concrete example.
Yeah, please.
Under we've spent a lot of time focusing on our grow part now. Up until now, it's been the programs on our grow path. Mm-hmm. While we offer a lot of things for the whole parish, right? We offer healing ministry. We offer missions. We offer Bible study. We have on our path that has been very limited in who has been invited into that. Mm. It was a select group of people that went through either, you know, our conversion engines essentially and had conversations and that they were really desiring intentional community.
Yeah.
So now that this is going into the whole church, there's been in a sense, you know, like, oh my gosh, well, who's going to lead this? I don't have time to do this, right? So for me, it was like, well, just start really small. So one of our steps is discipleship quads under Grow.
Yeah.
That process of being in a micro group and mentoring and discipling one another. And, you know, my heart was like, I'm envisioning hundreds of discipleship groups, right?
Right.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
We have four and they're all women.
Yeah.
And we don't have, at this point, we don't have men that are leading it yet, but being comfortable with the limitations. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a conversation with Father Connect. I read something in a book about the ability to grieve the limits in ministry is very important.
Wow. Wait, say that again.
The ability to grieve your limits, the limitations, and to be honest with God about those disappointments, but to also trust in him and to know that he's in that and he knows it's painful, but starting small is okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Talk a little bit about where you saw the Spirit kind of leading the way. Cause I mean, that's part of every phase. That's part of all of it. But I think again, I alluded to this earlier, the initial assessment can be, it's not always easy, but straightforward. It's like, yeah, we have nothing that fosters conversion. We should think about that. You know, and the initial discernment is like, let's do something that fosters conversion. And, you know, but when you get farther and farther into this process, the more obvious, the more easy, low-hanging fruit, maybe intuitive things, you're more and more walking by faith. Where do you just see the Spirit coming into this and kind of meeting you?
I think of a couple different aspects. One is realizing God is a much better chess player than I am.
That's awesome.
In order to be a good chess player, you've got to think at least 8 moves ahead.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I can think 2. And I'm pretty sure the Lord thinks a million moves ahead. So to that degree, then, I see the Holy Spirit working when there's a program that we've been using in the parish that kind of surprises us as, wait a minute, this is it. This is the one that needs to fit in this spot. This will work. Or I also see when we are lifting up our needs to the Lord, okay, this is a position that we need to hire someone for. Mm-hmm. Lord, if you really want this position, then you're already preparing someone for this position.
Yeah.
And it has happened where, boom, there's a person like basically dropped on our laps that we didn't have to wait too terribly long for. And that, when that happens, like, oh, I'm glad the Holy Spirit was working faster than us. There's other times when it feels like we're ahead of the Spirit. Of course, we never are. And therefore, we're waiting a long time for someone. Mm. And that, again, gives us an opportunity to be patient, to be creative, and to stay focused on what is right in front of us. What are the things we can do instead of focusing on the things we can't?
Yeah. So I want to put you guys on the spot, slight little change of direction here a little bit. I think one of the hardest things for, I'll stereotype a little bit, but let's say for like a suburban parish, right? Where, you know, it's medium to large sized. There's a lot of stuff going on. How did you keep simplicity and clarity in your clear path at the same time that you realize we need to add some stuff to fill in gaps?
You have to make the main thing all the time.
Ooh, say that again. I love it.
You have to make the main thing all the time. It's, you know, I think about Mary and Martha, and when Jesus says, you know, Mary has chosen the one thing. Mm-hmm. And so what is, you know, in the work that God has called me to do as an evangelization and discipleship, I have to constantly go back to, is this changing hearts? Are people being transformed? Some of these ideas are really good, but they're enrichment. They're not part of the path. They're not going to lead someone into that next step. And I think that the things that we have on our path will do that. They're not complete. They're in process.
Yeah,
they will evolve. There might be some additions and some subtractions, but the concept of it, I feel like, will be very fruitful. But there's just a lot of distractions that happen in parish ministry. And a lot of times people will come forward and say, why don't we offer this?
Yeah.
And you want...
Insert legitimate need here.
Yeah. Like,
there are people who need this thing.
Yes, yes.
Jenny, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Father, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Right. And that's our hope, is that as people become formed and transformed, they will be able to listen to the Lord's call in their life. They will have a deeper conviction for where He's calling them, because they're going to listen to that compassion. Right? Conviction starts with compassion of where you're called, and that they will have the freedom. We need to give them the freedom to start it, but we don't have to lead it ourselves.
Right. Doesn't have to be a clear path ministry.
No,
it doesn't even have to necessarily be a parish ministry.
No.
Yeah.
And so they can do that, but we have to keep focusing on what will move the greatest number of people into a life transformed by Jesus.
I want to zero in on that, because it was like super subtle, but very important. It sounds like one of your criteria to say, like, okay, what makes it onto our clear path, what stays on our clear path, is it helping people move and grow? Is it transforming them and maturing them?
Yes.
Absolutely. How can you tell?
Well, I'll just give you a practical example.
Yeah.
We had, like I said, I've mentioned missionary discipleship is part of our, of a program. It's not a program you can purchase. It's homegrown.
Yeah. So a homemade program.
It's a
and
homemade
what is it?
Program.
Thumbnail sketch. What does it
We've
do?
We've actually modeled it after what the Archdiocese is doing in the mentorship program.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we were blessed to play around. St. Gerald's was very kind to let us test stuff out.
Yes. And, you know, serving as a mentor, I learned a lot in this. And I realized that those, you know, when we sat down and we said, look, we're going to keep this going. It's really important. It's going to be different, obviously, from the Archdiocese is doing. It's less intense. They're not studying books. But what are the essential pillars? What helps people live as disciples? How do you integrate their life?
Yeah.
So there's that human formation, there's spiritual formation, intellectual formation, right? Pastoral formation, all of these different things that we were starting to look at. But we just had our last missionary discipleship gathering. And one of the things when I first got to St. Gerald is we rarely heard from them. Like we would ask, like, what's God doing? And people were very quiet. And now I think we could have spent the whole meeting really talking about what is the Lord doing through you. We are seeing that this is working.
Yeah.
You know, we provide that space for their formation and their discernment, their community, but they are truly living it out. And it's all different pieces, right? Because they're receiving it through preaching, through the message, through by being part of our evangelization ministry. But you know, people were sharing about their jobs and connecting their daily job. Like, what's a small way that they're living as a missionary disciple? One gentleman said, "I say God bless you to every single client." Hmm. And the conversations that come from that, or the way that people respond, you know,
right.
I mean, it's very, very simple, but it is making a difference. I had another man say, you know, he comes to everything we do in evangelization. He has a charism of service. He probably has a charism of helps. Hmm. He's incredibly helpful to me, but he's like, I realize that I'm doing all these things and coming and being part of evangelization, but I'm not really inviting people yet. And that's where I feel convicted. I mean, and like the list goes
right.
on.
Yeah, you can see their hearts and their minds changing and their habits.
Yeah.
Maybe do you have a story of somebody who's kind of like experienced several steps on the journey, right? Like they kind of started, they were an outsider, maybe not a parishioner, or maybe a very loosely, not real active parishioner. And they were able to kind of grow and mature through several steps where you just create this space for connection and encounter growth to happen.
Well, I immediately think of a woman, a parishioner who had been on fire ever since I've been at the parish, but tells her story as, oh, she wasn't always on fire. And it wasn't until she experienced the charismatic preaching of the current pastor and the previous associate pastor, Father Mark and Father Michael, respectively, that kind of woke her up and to ask, yeah, am I really letting God in on my life? And she goes through one of our conversion engine programs, and that really, she could see how beneficial it was not only in her life, but in other people's life. And so it just really excites her. And she too probably has a charism of hospitality and is good friends with the previous parishioner that I mentioned as well, who had passed away. And so in a sense, together, they'd be moving through things and they would, there's other offerings in the parish that have helped them to continue to be convicted about the importance of letting God love them and then let God love others through them.
Yeah.
And they would want to grow in their experience of God's love. They would want to grow in getting to know more about God and to know God more. And they would continue to be going through the things that we have offered in our parish, including becoming part of our pastoral council, which created our strategic plan. And she was very instrumental in the kinds of things that were included in the strategic plan that would focus on fellowship and really helping everyone, no matter where they're at on their journey, feel included, feel like they are wanted here at St. Gerald and wanted by God. And I think through that, she's definitely exhibited this conviction of being a mover and a shaker. I mean, someone where she's not just going to rely on the pastor and the associate pastor and the staff to go out and find more people to bring into the parish, but that herself, she is going to start inviting, that she's going to start talking about God and how God has been moving in her life to her own family.
Right.
And
it's not just Father's job. It's my job.
She's recognizing it's her job. And yet it's in conjunction with what God is already doing in her life and what her openness to what God wants to say to her family through her. So it's not like her taking the reins and doing everything. It's her realizing, I'm giving the reins over to the Lord, but I'm still in the carriage and I'm going where the Lord's going. And so she is going. And one of the areas there's where she's going is recognizing one of the areas that we're lacking at St. Gerald is dedicated youth ministry. And so she's kind of taken the reins on that and seeing how through in the Archdiocese of Omaha, we've got our Journey of Faith, which put parishes into families so that we are now in collaboration with our other parish family member and utilizing their established youth group. But it's not just, hey, high schoolers, go to that youth group. Good luck finding it. She's the one who's spearheading and the go-to person, and she's there at the youth group meetings. And so she knows what's happening, and she can be the number one advocate from experience. And okay. That wouldn't have happened if she wasn't set on fire for the Lord's love for her.
Okay, so I have a story of a longtime parishioner. He was already involved with men's, the Knights of Columbus, and he was an usher. So probably some natural leadership abilities. But anyway, he was one that really didn't think Alpha was for him. And I think it was in 2021, maybe 2022, he finally, there was some testimony that moved him to just say, I'm going to try it.
Okay.
But I know everything because I go to church and I'm a knight. And well, the Lord had different plans for him. And he was so moved. He encountered Jesus's love so deeply. Mm. He met the Holy Spirit for the first time in a profound way. And he started attending, you know, our healing ministry that we have just to receive the love of the Holy Spirit. Mm. He decided to come back and be on the Alpha team. Well, one of the blessings of that is that that's a natural formation process for people.
Right. It's a training.
It's a training.
Yeah.
And leadership and ministry and learning how to rely on the Holy Spirit. So I'm watching this man come in, guarded, don't need this. The Lord, he encounters the Lord. And the transformation begins. And so he is set on fire. Like he starts coming to everything on the path that we have. He's coming to missionary discipleship. He continues to be on, you know, every single Alpha team or whatever we're doing for our conversion engine. He's there and he's on the team. And, you know, he just told me recently, he said, of everything I do here, because he's very involved, of everything I do here, nothing brings me greater joy than to sit as a host of this table and to lead other people to knowing Jesus more.
Wow.
And he's so humble about, you know, basically where he was, like not thinking he needed this and how much the Lord just keeps drawing him in into, you know, knowing the Lord greater, knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also just into leadership. I mean, he never imagined he would be doing this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, and I appreciate it's not just, I mean, praise God. And fundamentally, right, we have a responsibility for our neighbors, but the clear path isn't just, it's transforming the parishioners from within. Long time faithful pillars of the community are finding, oh, the Lord has something more for me. Father, I know you have a story too.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a longtime parishioner, a woman who would, she considered herself a pew potato, someone who just is there in the pew. She shows up for mass, week in and week out. And that's about it. But it was through the charismatic preaching of Father Mark and Father Michael that the Holy Spirit touched her heart. And she started to open up to the Lord. And she started then to see how what she's really longing for. She's longing for deeper friendships and connections with the people around her. So she started to open up and sought those fellowship moments. And then that gave her the confidence to go and make sure other people were experiencing fellowship moments. So she started to go through things that are on our way of discipleship, and those would affect her. The Holy Spirit really was breathing life into her at that time. And she started to see even more gaps in things that the parish lacked in certain areas. We'll say specifically, we didn't have a youth minister.
Yeah.
And while she herself wasn't going to become the youth minister, she was looking at what the Holy Spirit was already doing, not only at St. Gerald, but around the archdiocese with the journey of faith and seeing how we're put together in a family of parishes. We've got a what I like to call a brother parish that they've got a youth minister. So let's see if we can utilize their program that they have, and they were very open to it. And so she is now going to those youth nights, and so that she can see what they're doing. She's inspired by what's going on there, and then she's the mouthpiece for us at St. Gerald, and she's getting more and more families and youth into that youth program. So just recognizing the openness to the Holy Spirit and how that has caused her to jump in fully into what the Lord is doing.
Yeah. I can't help but notice how part of, I think, what drew you to these stories is these aren't just parishioners who are encountering the Lord for the first time or encountering St. Gerald's for the first time. You have those people. There's a lot of those people. But what is moving your heart are people who've been a part of the community for a long time, who are finding more, who are finding the Lord, who are finding the Spirit, who are moving from, I don't know, maybe like one of the hardest conversions from being a disciple to being a missionary disciple. That's beautiful.
And I find that's the importance of the clear path, is that instead of it just being one more thing, oh, we got a lot of cool stuff. So what's instead of it turning into an American consumerism about what's the next best thing, what's the next coolest thing that we can do because maybe I'm interested in learning more about the Lord, or maybe I just like the fellowship type of activities. I just want to do the next coolest thing. It's, no, what's the thing that's going to get me closer to God?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a clear path that I can – it's just easier for me to discern.
Yeah. I mean, it's for most of us, it's just overwhelming. I don't know what's next. I don't know where to go. And there's lots of good stuff. But to have a community that say, like, here's what it means to be a disciple. Here's what it means to be a missionary disciple. And when you're ready, we're going to help you.
Right. And that's why it's important to make the distinction of what goes on the clear path or the things that are geared towards movement.
Yes.
So maybe I am a committed disciple of the Lord, but I'm not ready to go as a missionary disciple. I'm not. Yeah. I just don't feel confident or comfortable yet, as I've just recently said yes to God to go and convince other people or to help them say yes to God too. I'm just not there yet. I feel like I need to learn even more, right? So there would be then Bible studies, there would be other small group activities. Maybe for men, it'd be That Man Is You, or for women, maybe Women of Grace, just things that help you grow as a disciple right where you're at. And then maybe after a couple of years, it's okay, you know what? There's the Lord is still, I'm getting a sense of restlessness. There must be more. He's calling me to more. Well, okay, now he's calling you to go. Now, whether that takes a few years or it just takes a few weeks, it's just a matter of recognizing when it's time to grow and when it's time for movement. The Lord is stretching me.
Well, and where does it happen? There's like, I mean, I can't tell you how many people who feel that call, but they don't know where to go. Like, I want to go. I feel the need to be equipped, but there's nothing here for me. And, you know, God bless Father Mike Schmitz and cool podcasts online and things like that. But the ability for like people who know me, who love me in my parish community, they're like, okay, you're feeling that call. We can help you get ready to go. We'll equip you for the journey.
Right. And I feel like that what we have on our path is helping people to recognize that, number one, every single person is called to be a missionary disciple.
Yeah.
Number two, God will be with you. You're not doing this on your own. You're joining with God. You're partnering with God.
Yeah.
And the church is here. The staff, the priests, we're here to build up that ministry that you are called to. And it's just the smallest of steps. You begin with the smallest of steps.
Yeah.
You look about, you know, where is that circle of influence? What are the words you're using? What are the small things you can do to be that witness? The smallness of things is important because I think we get very overwhelmed with how big things have to be.
Yeah.
But
especially at large communities where you feel a responsibility. Yeah, it's like, my gosh, there's so many people.
Right. Even if you're meeting with 10 people, if your staff listening to this and you're meeting with 10 people who have begun the process, the path at your church, and maybe they've gone through an experience of meeting the Lord deeper, and now what? even if it's those 10, you know, to give them small equipping will make a difference because it's the Lord's work and he will send them on mission. So,
I mean, our time has just totally flown by here, but I want to give you both an opportunity just for some final advice. You know, kind of imagine that person who's listening, maybe imagine yourselves, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago. What's some kind of final advice for people who are at the point where they need to expand their clear path?
Recognizing that this should be a living path, right? A breathing, changeable path that the Holy Spirit is going to bring to you something new eventually. And it's important for everyone to be open to that, open to the newness of the breath of the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. Jenny?
I would say invest deeply in people and love them well. And while we can be sometimes affected by numbers attending things, to just always be reminded that the Lord loves each person that is being drawn, you know, to you and your ministry and what the church is offering, and to really invest in them and to build them up, and to trust, let go, not hold too tightly, not try to control everything. We can be overly controlling in our ministries because it's just helps us feel better about life. But allowing, you have to trust people as they are discerning too, where the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding them. And I would say the other piece of advice is just to persist even when it's very messy and difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we turned on the mics, we were just chit-chatting and you're like, it's just so worth it.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perseverance is so important. Mm-hmm. But perseverance, not in white-knuckling it, perseverance in prayer. Mm-hmm. Perseverance in trusting in the Lord. And I love what you said, Jenny, investing in people, loving God's people.
Amen.
Because the clear path, you know, just using that phrase can confuse people of like, oh, it's this linear one step after the next. No. People are going to take a few steps forward and then they're going to take a few steps back. And we still have something for them. Even if they fall all the way back to the quote unquote beginning of the path, it's not necessarily a falling. It's providing something that meets people where they're at when they're there.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Well, we're going to link to the St. Gerald's website because your way of discipleship, the images, connect, encounter, grow, go, they're beautiful, color-coded. You know, for those who won't be able to see the banners in person, this is the next best thing. So we will link to that. Thank you. Thank both of you. You guys have been at this working hard for many years and kind of joined in a movement and made it your own. So thank you. Thanks for being with us, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, everybody. You know somebody who needs to hear this, a little encouragement for them. So when you get to your destination or done walking the dog or whatever you're doing, go ahead and share it out. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the EquipCast. We hope this episode has inspired you to live your faith and equip you to be fruitful in your mission. Stay connected with us by going to equip.archomaha.org. God bless and see you next time.